Well, it's been a very fruitful time at Mother and Toddlers this term. We've had three new babies, and one of our young people from our youth club in Shrewsbury has had her second baby. So I've been really kept up to date about all maternal things during this last term. Wonderful developments, week by week by week. People have been telling us what's been going on. How are you? Is the baby okay? And so on. These mums, of course, have been backed by maternity units, midwifery services, consultant-backed skills, and family support. They've had regular checks, they've had scans. Some of them knew what the sex of the child was before they were born, so they could go shopping for blue clothes or pink ones. Others who didn't know bought the white ones very sensibly. Behind all this, there was lots and lots of planning, lots and lots of scheming. Would it be a home delivery? Would they have to go to hospital? Families were on standby, and there were all sorts of contingency plans that were being made. And in due time, the babies arrived, and in no time, they were here. Mums bringing their 2 or 3 day old or a week old child. Wonderful. But you know, that was light years away from what took place in our nativity story, the story that we've become so familiar with. So what I want you to do this afternoon is just to think a little bit more about that story, because God's ways aren't our ways. We've got a theme for this Christmas: outside in. Let me explain. Most of the events in the Christmas story are not the way that we would have planned them if we were God. Would we have chosen a teenage mother to be the saviour of the world? No. Would we have conceived him without a human father? No. Would we have put Joseph through all the agonies of mistrusting his fiancée? No. Would we have shattered their wedding plans? No, we wouldn't. Well, today we're seeing that Jesus was not born in a palace. He wasn't born in a capital city. But the carol says he was born in a little town of Bethlehem, a backwater town. And as far as we can tell, it was nowhere special at all. So let me ask you my first question this afternoon. What does Christmas mean to you today? I wonder what you've made of the Christmas story over the years. You may know most of the facts, but have you thought about what was taking place 2,000 years ago? If you haven't thought about it, you're not unusual, because most people haven't. But we believe that God is good as Christians, and we believe that God has got plans. So if God is good and God has got plans, he must have good plans. So why did he choose Bethlehem for the birth of his son? We also believe that God has a purpose for doing things. He doesn't do things randomly, haphazardly, or by luck, good luck or bad luck. So I wonder you, just for a few minutes this afternoon, just to think about that story once more. And I've come across a few surprises, and maybe there'll be one or two surprises for you as well. And maybe God has got something to say to you this afternoon. So what did that first Christmas, what did God do that first Christmas? Now, me and technology don't go together very well, but okay. So, I'll leave this with Russell. The first thing that happened was that there was a census called. Who called that census? Well, it was Caesar Augustus, a Roman emperor who was a heathen, a godless man, a military commander, a powerful tyrant, a dictator. The Jews at that particular time were under the domination of the Roman emperor. And all he was interested in was raising more money for more soldiers to dominate more territory and for having a whale of a time, most of it immoral, in Rome. So he called this taxation was called once every 14 years. Remember that? Just once every 14 years. Judea was crushed and Rome ruled with an iron rod. The taxation was inflicted on all of the Roman Empire, the known world at that time, and everywhere was creaking and cracking under the strain of this dominant foreign power. At that time, God was working. The Romans had no idea that God was working, or that they were part of God's divine plan. But God used that decree to fulfill his plans, which had been prophesied 700 years earlier. The second thing I want you to notice this afternoon is that all returned to their ancestral towns, and they had to go. Now, Mary and Joseph were devoted to each other, and they'd got a baby on the way. Just use your imagination now, and you're sitting in your little house in Nazareth. Could the conversation have gone a little bit like this? Well, let's stay at home. We won't go this time. But they didn't. So that ruled out a home delivery straight away, didn't it? God was ordering events. They might well have known the ancient prophecy from 700 years ago that a ruler of Israel would come from that little village. But there was so much going on at the time that we could forgive them if they'd forgotten that particular scripture. After all, we forget scriptures, don't we? But they didn't think for a moment of disobeying that command. We're told that they were good citizens, and however difficult it might be for them, and however hard it might have been for them to obey, they did it. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, they had to go to Bethlehem, David's ancient home. It was a place with a history, where God had worked greatly in the past. The chances of them being there by luck would be 1,000,000 to 1 or more. But God had got a plan, and it was going to be fulfilled in that place, bang on time. I like the thought, though, that Joseph wanted to take care of Mary and wanted them both to be registered at the same time. And so they travelled there from Nazareth in Galilee. So Mary and Joseph have to up sticks and travel to Bethlehem, a heavily pregnant mum, faced with a journey of about 85 miles, something like going from here to Liverpool or to Coventry. with no ambulances, no taxis, no dial-a-ride, no car. And as far as we can guess, they were very poor. They went on a donkey. Today, we're very concerned, aren't we, about expectant mums going to Telford from Oswestry or from Ludlow to Oswestry. Something like 30 miles, which can be done in an hour. But for this couple, they couldn't do that. 85 miles would have taken them at least 4 or 5 days. Now again, use your imagination. A heavily pregnant mum having to get on and off a donkey a few times in the day for comfort breaks, to stop at night. Could that baby have been induced earlier? Well, yes, quite easily. Talking to the mums as they come to mother and toddlers, some of them have said to us, well, it can happen any time in the next 3 weeks. Anything could happen, and the baby would be there. Could Jesus have been born on the way to Bethlehem? No. Because right at the right time, Jesus would be in Bethlehem. But Mary and Joseph didn't know that, did they? God did, but they didn't. God was in control. One false move from them and a baby could have been on the way. But that's not the end of the story. There was no lodging place for them when they got there. This young couple, who was seeming to be obeying every order, this seems to be a very disorganized way of bringing their child, into this special child, into the world. Did they arrive in Bethlehem early? Well, they could have done. They were a very organized and sensible couple. But when they got there, Bethlehem was bursting at the seams. Hundreds of others had got there before them, as they too had obeyed the census. And there was nowhere for them to stay. And what's more, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Think of it. A teenage mum. The first baby. A responsible couple. And although there'd been a miraculous conception of that child, everything else about that birth was totally normal. The journey had already been physically demanding. But now they had the mental concern, we would say worry, of finding a place for the baby to be born. And she was full term, as we would say today. So the need was urgent. There was no time to delay now. But God was in control. The baby wasn't born yet. God was still working out his plans. The Son of God in Mary's womb wasn't born a moment too soon. He wasn't there longer than was planned. So then finally we come to this verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son, a firstborn child, a son. And she wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger. They were there alone. There was no one else with them, as far as we can tell, to attend to Mary. No one else there to attend to Jesus. So she wrapped him in strips of cloth. Is this all that they brought with them? After all, if you're travelling on a donkey, you don't have much room for anything extra, do you? So they took along the basics, a few strips of cloth. After the birth of Jesus, she got up. She attended to Jesus, doing the very best that they could in the circumstances. And Jesus took his first night's sleep in a feeding trough where the oxen had probably fed. The point of telling you this is that Jesus couldn't have come down much lower, could he? He was born so low that no baby has been born lower. He would be registered as the son of a carpenter. And no one at the time would have thought anything about it at all, what had taken place. There was no halo around Jesus' head. He started life in poverty. He lived a life in poverty. He accepted all the vulnerability. He couldn't have got lower. Well, that's broadly the Christmas story. Most of us in this room today are familiar with that. But it's not enough, is it, just to contemplate the Christmas story once a year. And we do want to be as accurate as we can in portraying what happened. But as I was reading through the story, there was one other fact that seemed to hit me again and again and again. The incredible timing of it all. Work it back from the birth of Jesus, those 9 months, what had been happening. There was the miraculous conception when the angel told Mary that she was going to have a child. There was this decree that was made by a Roman emperor way off in Rome that had to filter through to Judea and eventually to Nazareth. So this couple would eventually get up at the right time and then move down to Bethlehem. Before that, Mary had been to visit Elizabeth. There was all that journey, a week or so. There was that time, precise time, of looking for a place to rest and for the birth. And we're told at the right time, Jesus was born. God knew every step of the way. As we've said many times already this afternoon, God was in control. I want to say that because that God is still God today, and I believe that he's in absolute control of everything in the world today, including my life and your life. So this brings me to another question. Could this happen in 2017? Could Jesus come down this far again? Is he too good and too holy to come down to our world? Is anyone too bad or too low for him to come and live in their lives? The short answer, of course, is no. And I'm pleased to be able to tell you that this afternoon because it's part of the Christian message. It's part of the good news. For you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make us rich. Could he come to an obscure place like Oswestry Street? Move out of the West Midlands, and most people don't even know where Oswestry Street is, and a lot of people have never heard of Oswestry Street. Move out of the West Midlands, and is he too low? Could he come down to a place like Shropshire? Most people ask, where is Shropshire if they're out of the West Midlands area? Could he come to you? Could he come to me? Well, he's done it millions of times since the first nativity story. He came to a person like Zacchaeus in the Bible, who was a wicked and a cheating tax collector. He came to the Apostle Paul, who was a religious person, but he was totally anti-Christian, and he was persecuting them. Ask people who've been around this church for a while, and like Bill and Shirley, they'll tell you, or George, they'll tell you that God has come here. Jesus has come here. And Jesus has come to prisoners. He's come to prostitutes. Jesus is wonderful in the way that he comes down. He's always coming down. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that just as God brought Jesus to Bethlehem, he's brought you here at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And he knows what he's doing. I believe that the Saviour of the world is still looking for somewhere to live today. And it could be you. He still looks for entry into overcrowded lives and hearts. He's looking for room to come and to stay. I don't think that it's true of most people in this country that they hate Jesus. There are a few. But for most people, lives are so overcrowded with thoughts of money, thoughts of family, thoughts of work, thoughts of pleasure. And there's no room for Jesus in most people's lives today. No time, no desire, no time to reflect on God's will at all. And it would be the most unlikely place, possibly, for him to come and dwell. But because he's done it before, why not now? Why not today? So has Jesus chosen to come and live in your heart and in your life? Just think for a moment of that wonderful love of God that's revealed in the Christmas story. Jesus, born in an outhouse, laid in a feeding trough, born in obscurity, in poverty, deprivation, wrapped in strips of cloth. Why? Why did God do all this? Well, the one who was born as the Saviour of the world would become the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and face the indescribable agonies of suffering and dying on the cross. And this was the one who God had said to him specifically, "You are my beloved Son, who brought me great joy." So it wasn't dying for things that he'd done wrong, but he was dying in my place and in your place. So as we draw to a conclusion, what steps are you going to take this Christmas? Although we're not specifically told in the Christmas story, I think it's fairly reasonable to assume that someone who we don't know opened a door that Jesus would be welcome on that very first Christmas morning. And through that simple act, one of the greatest miracles that's ever taken place in the world happened. God was born as a human being. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Someone made room for Jesus, and that's what we must do today. And if we open the door of our hearts to him, miracles can happen in our lives. We can be born again. All we need is that simple trust. And the love of the Lord Jesus Christ can be revealed to us. And our lives can be transformed forever. And we can then go and live with him forever. The outside will become in. And that's what we want to share with you this Christmas. Let's pray together.